Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
episode 2 of New Zealand, a Wikipedia reading. And we're up to, we've done the history and geology, which the history is pretty amazingly brief. Doesn't really go into the Wakefield and the Maori Wars too much, which is, you know, for me, a very interesting aspect about how was a real estate, the British real estate firm started up New Zealand, but and how the Maoris misunderstood what was going on and all that type of history, and the geology is pretty amazing, and the history is also coming back to it, amazing that up to 1841 it was part of New South Wales. So let's go and do the infrastructure. Always knowing that you've wanted to know about infrastructure. I'm going to get my glasses on. And in 2015, which is only 3 years ago, renewable energy generated about 41% of New Zealand's gross energy supply. The majority of the country's electricity is generated by hydroelectricity, with major schemes that are Waikato, Waki, Kaltha rivers, as well as the Manapouri geothermal power is also a significant generator of electricity, with several large stations. Isn't that cool? Geothermal, what a great thing. Sounds like infrastructure, what they really wanted to say is energy, across the top of a volcanic zone in the North Island. The five main companies in generation and retail markets are Contact, Genesis, Mercury, Meridian, Trust Power, and state-owned Transpower operates high-voltage transmission grids in north, in the North and South Islands, as well as the Inter-Island HVDC link connecting the two together. And pretty amazing that so we've got a high-voltage DC link from Victoria to Tasmania. The provision of water supply and salination is generally of good quality, well, I hope. Regional authorities provide water abstraction, treatment and distribution infrastructure to most developed areas. New Zealand transport network comprises of 94,000 kilometres of roads, including 199 kilometres of motorways. I just find that that distance is incredibly small. Like, we've got motorways between two towns, that distance, and 4,128 kilometres of railway lines. Most major cities and towns are linked by bus services, although private cars is the predominant mode of transport. Railways were privatised in 1993, but were renationalised in stages between 2004 and 2008. State-owned enterprise Kiwi Rail now operates railways, with the exception of commuter services in Auckland and Wellington, which give operated by Trandev and Metlink, respectively. Railways run the length of the country, although most lines now carry freight rather than passengers. Most international visitors arrive from air, and New Zealand has six international airports, but currently only Auckland and Christchurch Airport connect directly with our countries other than Australia or Fiji. The New Zealand Post Office has a monopoly over telecommunications in New Zealand until 1987, when the Telecom New Zealand was formed initially as a state-owned enterprise and then privatised in 1990. Chorus, which was split from Telecom, now Spark, in 2011, still owns a majority of telecommunication infrastructures, but competition from other providers has increased. A large-scale rollout of gigabit fibre to the premises branded as ultra-fast broadband began in 2009, with a target of being available to 87% of the population in 2022. As the 2017, the United Nations International Telecommunication Group rates New Zealand as the 13th development of information and communications infrastructure. Australia would be just absolutely mind-bogglingly stupid. Science and technology. Early indigenous contributions to science in New Zealand was the Maori Tonga accumulating knowledge of agricultural practice and the effects of herbal remedies and treatments. Or surely you're going to mention, what's it, the Rutherford, are you, oh yes, they are. Cook's voyages in the 1700s and Darwin's in 1835 have important scientific, botanical and zoological objectives. The establishment of universities in the 19th century fostered discoveries by notable New Zealanders, including Ernest Rutherford for splitting the atom, William Pickering for rocket science, Maurice Wilkins for helping discover, oh, I didn't know he was a Kiwi, Beatrice Tinsley for galaxy formation, and Alan McDrammond for conducting polymers. Crown Research Institute was formed in 1992 for an existing government-owned research organisation. Their role is to research and develop new science, knowledge and products that service across the economic, environmental, social and cultural spectrum for the benefit of New Zealand. The gross expenditure on research GDP rose from 1.5% up from 1.23 in 2015. New Zealand is ranked 21st in the OECD for its gross R&D spending as a percentage of GDP. I had a few Kiwi researchers, and some of the university researchers are rather sad. Demography. So demography, they don't have a huge old population like Australia does. And, sort of, there's a lot more females in the 49 to 74 age bracket. So I wonder what's going on there. Of 2018, Australian, the New Zealand census enumerated a resident population of 4.6 million people, being an increase over of 10% over the 2013 figure. So they were busy at work, were they? But you can't see how that would have been. It would be more counting. As of June 2020, the total population has risen to an estimated, my God, they're rocketing away. In May 2020, Statistics New Zealand reported New Zealand population has climbed above 5 million people of March 2020. New Zealand is a predominantly urban country, with 66% of the population living in 20 main urban areas, the population of 30,000 or greater, and 45.3% living in the four greatest cities, Auckland, Christchurch, Wellington and Hamilton. Hamilton frees your ass off. New Zealand cities generally rank highly on the international livability measures. For instance, Auckland was ranked the world's first as a livable city. So, given that Australia's got so many in the top 10, and Auckland's got number 3 and 12th, there's always a can do. Life expectancy in New Zealand was 84 for males and 80.2 for males, same similar to Australia. Life expectancy at birth, the forecast has increased from 80 to 85 years. In 2050, infant mortality expected to decline. I hope so. New Zealand's fertility rate is 1.2, relatively high for the developed country. Natural births account for a significant portion of population growth. Consequently, the country has a young population compared to most industrialised nations, with 20% of New Zealanders being 14 years or younger. In 2018, the median age of New Zealand... Any fun drum roll? What do you think it would be? I'd say the median age would be something like 42. I think it would be 36. It was 38.1 years. In 2050, the median age is predicted to raise to 43 years old. Still young compared to Australia. Percentage of people under 60 age to rise. Over 60s to rise from 18 to 29%. In 2018, the leading cause of premature deaths was cancer, and followed by ischemic heart disease and cardiovascular disease. Total expenditure on healthcare is 9.2%, so it's actually less than Australia. Ethnicity and immigration. in 2018, 71.8% of New Zealand residents were identified as ethnically UPM. 16.5% Maori and other majors is groups is. Is that possible? That's impossible. Okay, the other major ethnic group include Asians and Pacific peoples. So I don't, because what if you add 16 and 15, you get 31, and there's 71%. So that's not possible, that statistics. The population has become more diverse in recent years. In 1961, the census reported the population was 92% European and 7% Maori. And one, while the denom for New Zealand citizen is New Zealanders, the informal is Kiwi, commonly used both internationally and by locals. The Maori loan word, Pāke, has been used to refer to New Zealanders of European Pāke, New Zealand European descent, although some reject this name. The word Pāke today is increasingly referred to all non-Polynesian New Zealanders. Maoris were the first people to reach New Zealand, followed by the early European settlers. Following colonisation, immigrants were predominantly from Britain, Ireland and Australia because of restrictive policies similar to the White Australia policy. There was also significant Dutch and Dalmatian, German, Indian immigration together with indirect immigration through Australia, North America, South America and South Africa. Net migration increased after the Second World War. In the 1970s and 80s, policies were relaxed and immigration from Asia was promoted. In 2009 to 2010, the annual target of 45,000 to 50,000 permanent residents were approvals were set by the New Zealand's Immigration Service. More than one new immigrant for every 100 New Zealand residences. Okay, so per year, that's reasonable, but I would say Australia's got a third of Australia's immigrants. As of 2013, just over 25% of New Zealand population was born overseas. Okay, well, so we've got 30%. Majority, 52%, living in the Auckland region. United Kingdom remains the largest source of New Zealand's immigration population, with a quarter of all overseas-born New Zealanders born there. Other major sources of New Zealand's overseas population is China, India, Australia, South Africa, Fiji, Samoa. The number of free-paying international students, fee-paying, increased sharply in the 1990s, with more than 20,000 studying in tertiary institutions. And so we would get 20,000 in a single university. Language. English is the predominant language of New Zealand, spoken by 95.4% of the population. But it is Kiwi language. English, so it's got different pronunciation, different words. New Zealand English is similar to Australian English, and many speakers in the Northern Hemisphere are unable to tell their accents apart. Story was that I was in Canada, and the students that were sort of working with me suddenly burst in this poor, beaten person in the department, and he said, "We found another Australian," that's what Canadians would do, and he said, "Oh, g'day," and he said, and I said, "You're a Kiwi," he said, "Look, I've given up, if they want me to be Australian, I'll be an Australian." The most prominent differences in New Zealand English as a dialect to other Englishes are shifts to the short vowels, the short I, the sound nit, has centralised towards the schwa sound of a comma. In about. The short E in dress has moved up to the short I sound, and the short A sound in tap has moved to the short E. So, yeah, Kiwi. I wish I could say what Kiwis were like. After the Second World War, Maori were discouraged from speaking their own language, Te Reo Maori, in schools and workplaces, and it existed as community language only in a few remote areas. It has recently undergone a process of revitalisation, being declared one of Australia's and New Zealand's official languages in 1987, and spoken by 4% of the population. There are now Maori language immersion schools and two television channels that broadcast predominantly in Maori. Many places have both their Maori and English names officially recognised. As recorded in the 2018 census, Samoans is the most widely spoken non-official language. followed by Northern Chinese, Mandarin, Hindi, French. There's and these French speakers, there's 1%, and it's 22,986 people. Sure, that's not people running around to be counted a second time then. 0.5% are reportedly able to use New Zealand Sign Language, which became one of New Zealand's official languages in 2016. Religion. Christianity is the predominant religion of New Zealand, although society is amongst the most secular in the world. In 2016, 44.7% of respondents identified with one or more religions, including 37% as Christians. Another 48.5% indicated they had no religion. Go of those affiliated with a particular religion. So most of them are mostly not heathens. They are just Italians. Yeah, sorry, the New Zealanders do have. My son can put on the most brilliant Kiwi accent at the drop of a hat. It's brilliant. Kiwis. Christian denominator. The main responses are Anglicanism, Roman Catholicism, Presbyterianism, Maori-based, Rinto and Ranta religions. So what is it? Ruthemia. And what's the political things? I wish I could remember what it was. Immigration and democratic change in recent decades has contributed to the growth of minority religions. Okay. Auckland's exhibited the greatest ethnic religious diversity. They've had that horrible mosque thing. Education. Primary and secondary schooling is compulsory for children 6 to 16, with the majority attending from the age of 5. There are 13 school years, and attending state public school is free New Zealand citizens and permanent residents from the person's 5th birthday to the end of the calendar year following their 19th birthday. New Zealand has an adult literacy rate of 99%. Over half the population aged 15 to 29 hold tertiary qualification. There are 5 types of government-owned tertiary institutions: universities, colleges, polytechnics, specialist colleges, and rotunga, in addition to private training establishments. The adult population, 14.2% have a bachelor's degree or higher, 30% have some form of secondary qualification as their highest qualification, 24% has no formal qualifications. The OECD program for international PISA ranks New Zealand's education as the 7th best in the world, with students outperforming exceptionally well in reading, mathematics and science, and beating the pants off Australia, who is full of basically, I think, step one, I'd hate to suggest, why not be less corrupt in Australia? The problem with teaching, you can ask for more money, we can just ask you to be less corrupt. Okay, culture. Early Maori adapted the tropically based East Polynesian culture in line with the challenges associated with a larger and more diverse environment, eventually developing their own distinctive culture. Social organization was largely communal, with families, Waho and sub-tribes, Hapu, and tribes, Iwi, ruled by Chief Rangatira, whose position was subject to the community's approval. British and Irish immigrants brought aspects of their own culture to New Zealand and also influenced Maori culture, particularly the introduction of Christianity. Maori still regard their allegiances to tribal groups as a vital part of their identity. Maori kinship roles resemble those of other Polynesian peoples. More recently, American, Australian, Asian and European cultures have exerted influence in New Zealand. Non-Maori Polynesian cultures are also apparent, with the Pewhiska, the world's largest Polynesian festivals, now an actual event in Auckland. They're not going to go online anymore. A largely rural life in early New Zealand led to the image of New Zealanders as being rugged, industrious problem solvers, as all people think they are. Modesty was expected and enforced through the tall poppy syndrome, where high achievers received half criticism. At the time, New Zealand was not known for intellectual country. From the 20th century until the late 1960s, Maori culture was suppressed by the attempted assimilation of Maori into British New Zealanders. In 1960, as tertiary education became more viable, available, the city's expanded urban cultures began to dominate. However, rural imagery and themes are common in New Zealand art and literature and medium. New Zealand's national symbols are influenced by natural, historical and Maori sources. The silver fern is an emblem appearing on many army insignia and sporty uniform teams. Certain items of popular culture are thought to be unique in New Zealand are called Kiwiana art. As part of the resurgence of Maori culture, the traditional crafts and craft and weaving are now more widely practiced, and Maori artists are increasing in number and influence. Most Maori carvings feature human figures, generally with three fingers, an either natural-looking detailed head or grotesque head. Surface patterns consisting of spirals, ridges, notches, fish scales decorate most carvings. Prominent Maori architecture consisted of carved meeting houses, decorated with symbolic carvings and illustrations. These buildings were originally designed to be constantly rebuilt, changing and adapting to different whims and needs. Oh, that's amazing. Maori decorated with white wood of buildings, canoes and cenotaphs using red mixture of red ochre and shark fat. And black name came from soot paint and painted pictures of birds, reptiles and other designs in the cave walls. Maori tattoos, moko, consisting of coloured soot mixed with gum, were cut into the flesh of the bone with a chisel. Since European arrival, paintings and photographs are dominated by landscapes, originally not as works of art, but as factual portrayals of New Zealand. Portraits of Maoris are also common, with early patterns often portraying them as noble savages, exotic beauties or friendly natives. The country's isolation delayed the influence of European artistic method trends, allowing but can have a Nobel Prize here with literature. Local artists to develop their own distinctive style of regionalism. During the 1960s, 70s, many artists combined traditional Maori and Western techniques, creating unique art forms. That's what I do when I produce art. Each of my art is ugly, but also unique. And here's someone who looks a bit like Pikachu, but let's see. New Zealand art and craft has gradually achieved international audience with the exhibition of Venice Biennale in 2001 and the Paradise Now exhibition in New York 2004. Similar to the Oman, Royal Oman Philharmonic Orchestra, Symphony Orchestra, which had one performance. Maori cloaks are made of fine flax fibre, patterned with black and white triangle diamonds and geometric shapes. Green stones was fashioned into earrings and necklaces. I wonder if that is overlight. The most well-known design is the Hiitiki, a distorted human figure sitting cross-legs with his head tilted on one side. Europeans thought it brought English fashions etiquette to New Zealand, and until the 1950s, most people dressed up for social occasions. Standards have since relaxed, and New Zealand fashion has received a reputation for being casual and less practical, and the word you've been waiting for in fashion, lackluster. You can't just be normally lackluster, you have to be fashionably lackluster. So when you've got a thong, it's got to be half on your foot. If you've got some undies or some old singlets, it's got to be dirty with a beer stain. However, the local fashion industry has grown significantly since 2000, doubling exports and increasing the handful from about 50 labels, with some gaining international recognition. Literature. Maori quickly adopted writing as a means of sharing ideas, and many of their oral stories and poems were converted to the written form. Most early English literature was obtained from Britain, and it was not until the 1950s when local publishing outlets increased that New Zealand literature started to become widely known. Though still largely influenced by global trends, modernism and the events of the Great Depression, writers in the 1930s began to develop stories increasingly focused on their experience in New Zealand. During this period, literature changed from journalistic activity to a more academic pursuit. Participation in the World's War gave New Zealanders and writers a new perspective on New Zealand culture, with the post-war expansion of university and local literature flourished. Dunedin is UNESCO City of Literature. There you go. Media and entertainment. New Zealand media. Now that is, music is just fantastic. So what's split ends and all that does it. Has been influenced by blues, jazz, country, rock and roll, hip-hop, and many of the genres given unique New Zealand interpretation. Maori developed traditional chants and songs from their ancient Southeastern Asian origin, and after centuries of isolation created a unique monotonous or doleful sound. Flutes and trumpets were used as musical instruments or as signaling devices during war or special occasions. I wonder if you could have a special occasion war. That's not a special occasion. Let's dress up for the war. Okay. Early settlers brought over their ethnic music, with brass bands and choral music being popular, and musicians began touring in New Zealand in the 1860s. Pipe bands became widespread during the 20th century. The New Zealand recording industry began to develop in 1940 onwards, and many New Zealand musicians have obtained success in Britain and the United States. And I would say in brackets Australia, but let's go on. Some artists release Maori language songs, some Maori traditional based arts. Kapa Haka, song and dance, has made a resurgence. The New Zealand Music Awards are held annually by the Recorded Music New Zealand. Wow, that would be great. The awards were first held in 1965 by Reckitt and Coleman, and Locke's Golden Disc Award. Recorded Music New Zealand also publishes the country's official weekly record charts. Wow, top of the pops. Public radio was introduced in New Zealand in 1922. The state-owned television service began in 1960. Deregulation in the 80s saw a sudden increase in the number of radio and television stations. New Zealand's television primarily broadcasts American and British programs, along with many Australian and local shows. The number of New Zealand films significantly increased during the 1970s. In 1978, the New Zealand Film Commission started assisting local filmmakers, and many films attained world audience, some receiving international acknowledgement. The highest grossing New Zealand film is The Hunt for the Wilder People, Boy, the World's Fastest Indian, Whale Rider, Once Were Warriors, and The Piano. Oh, wow, I thought The Piano is that with Rush. The country is diverse. Oh no, Shine is Rush. I wonder what Piano was. I can remember sort of that. Oh, that's got to be fantastic. Fantastic things. I wonder if they won't mention. The country is diverse. Scenery and compact size plus government incentives have encouraged producers Lord of the Rings, Hobbits, Avatar, Chronicles of Narnia, King Kong, Wolverine, and The Last Samurai. New Zealand's media industry is dominated by a small number of companies, most of which are foreign-owned, although state retains ownership of some television and radio stations. Since 1944, Freedom House was consistently ranked New Zealand's press freedom in the top 20, with the 19th freest media in 2015. Sport. Most of the major sporting codes played in New Zealand have British origins. Rugby union is considered a national sport. It attracts the most spectators. Golf, netball, tennis, cricket, highest rates in adult participation, while netball, rugby union, and football, soccer, are particularly popular amongst the younger people, which is a large match of them. We're going to come to the end here soon, thank goodness. Not that I like reading about New Zealand, but there's some real, the real angst of Wakefield is a fantastic person. Around 54% of New Zealand's adolescents participate in sports at the school. Victorious rugby tours of Australia. Sob, in the United Kingdom in the late 1880s, at the early 1900s, played an early role in instilling the national identity. Horse racing was also a popular spectacular sport and became part of the rugby racing and beer. Oh, God. Culture during the 1960s. Oh, that would be so boring. I can't even, my head is just bored even reading that sentence. Maori participation in Euro sports was particularly evident in the rugby. The country team began to form the haka, a traditional Maori challenge before international matches. New Zealand is known for extreme sports, adventure tourism, strong mountain. They've got to do mountain bungee jumping and hillary. Strong mountaineering tradition has seen its successor, notable New Zealander and beekeeper, should I add, Sir Edmund Hillary. Other outdoor snowboard pursuits include cycling, fishing, swimming, running, trampling, canoe hunting, snow sports, surfing, sailing, and camel jumping. No, camel jumping, leave it to Yemen. The Polynesian sport of waka'a racing has experienced a resurgence in New Zealand since the 1980s. New Zealand has competitive international teams in rugby union, rugby league, netball, cricket, softball, sailing. New Zealand participated in the Summer League. I don't understand why they don't do Ian Chappell's underarm ball. That would be by far the best. New Zealand participated in the Summer Olympics in 1908 and 1912 as a joint team with Australia, before first participating in its own in 1920. Well, that is so amazing. So Australia didn't compete in the 1908 and 1912 thing. We were just a joint team. The country has ranked high in the medals to population ratio in recent games. The All Blacks, the national rugby team, are the most successful in the history of the entire universe and have won the World Cup 3 times. The other times it wasn't interested, it just got bored and walked off while everyone else to give the other teams a go. The national cuisine is described as specific reoccurring Native Maori cuisine, diverse culinary traditions included by settlers and immigrants from Europe, Polynesia and Asia. New Zealand yields produce from land and sea. Almost most crops and livestock, such as maize, potatoes and pigs, are gradually introduced by early European settlers. Distinctive ingredients or dishes include lamb, salmon, crayfish, dredge oysters, whitebait, abalone, mussels, scallops, pipis, morga, and tatura. Both are types of pipis and New Zealand shellfish. But pipis are so small. And a pipi is extremely small. You need thousands of those for a mouthful. Kamara, sweet potato, kiwi fruit, obviously, but kiwi fruit is Chinese gooseberry. Taramello, pavlova, considered Australia's national dish, but also their national dish, but they actually hand over to them their kiwis. The hangi, a Maori method of cooking food using heated rocks buried in a pit ovens. After European colonisation, Maori began cooking with pots and ovens, and hangi was used less frequently, although still used for formal occasions such as tangi hanga, T-A-N-G-I-H-A-N-G-A. That's the end of it there. The important thing is that the first meals that they fed the cook was cannibals. I should mention that at some stage. There's nothing wrong with that. Thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.